Hello, I'm Mike Graham, and this is the Thought Police, and I've got a new partner in crime, and it's him, Lewis
Schaefer.
Well,
for now, this is the first show. You may change your mind.
I might do,
for
yeah.
next week.
Well, I have to say, you are the third person I've done it with.
Yeah.
It started with a guy called Matt Kelly,
yeah.
Who was an old friend of mine from the Daily Mirror, who was a bit of a lefty.
Yeah.
He started up this new newspaper called The New European, and he's very pro-Remain and all that sort of thing. And then
he's a communist.
He probably is, but he lives in Islington, so you know.
But all communists live in Islington.
That's a good
because
place
if you're
for
poor,
them.
Why would you want to be a communist?
Exactly. And then he had to stop doing it. And then Kevin O'Sullivan did it for a while.
Yeah, very good.
And so he can't do it anymore. So I figured, why not go transatlantic, hands across the ocean and all that kind of thing. And you and I just started working together on a few bits and bobs. So I thought, why not revamp the Thought Police?
Why not destroy my career? That's what
with
you were thinking.
Well, you know, I've in various different ways been described as bad for people's reputation, you know, because I'm so scandalous that people don't want to work with me. But, you know, it usually works out quite well in the end. So I'm pleased that you accepted my generous offer for you to do,
I'm honored to do this. I'm honored to be asked.
Yeah. So I thought we should start. This is the first one. We're going to do one every week. Just about half an hour, I guess.
Yeah.
And we'll see how it goes. We might even do a couple of live shows if it goes well. So I think we should introduce ourselves to the new audience that are joining us, because it's the first time we've done it on YouTube properly.
Yeah.
So tell us about you. Would you describe yourself to somebody who'd never met you?
I would describe myself as a person who's underperformed. I'm an underperformer. People look at me and they think this guy should be amazing. They look at you and they probably think, well, he's doing much better than he should be doing.
Maybe so. Are you saying that as some kind of underhanded compliment? Possibly.
That was an insult.
It wasn't
a compliment.
See, I've got very thick skin and sometimes I don't even know I'm being insulted.
That's why I like you, because I think we're similar people in a way.
Right.
In that you've done amazing for yourself.
I've
really?
Not done badly.
Yeah.
I've had quite a lot of help, though. I've also been quite good at fucking everything up.
You've gotten help. Nobody helped. You're helping me. This is like amazing.
Yeah.
People help me, and then they realize, nah, he's this.
What did I do
wrong.
That for?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but you're...
So I'm under... I'm a New York Jew.
New York Jew.
Is what I am. I'm 100% Ashkenazi. I'm from New York.
Yeah.
And I came to this country...
And why did you come here? Because I lived in New York for 10 years.
Because you lied. I bought the lie. I thought, oh, English people, oh, Britain. I didn't even know the difference between a British person and an English person. So that's why I came.
And what is the difference in your view?
The difference is you guys suck.
Well, yeah, but...
That's horrible. Should I not say that?
Well, yeah, we're going to try not to be horrible to people
for a while. You guys are liars.
I'm asking the difference between English and British.
Is that too much?
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
The difference between English and British, you said...
I didn't know the difference between
English and British. Well, what is the difference?
Well, an English person is someone who comes from England, and a British person is someone who England basically colonized... And took over, like in the same way the Soviet. What's the difference between a Soviet and a Russian?
A Russian
is the original country.
It's the original country,
and a Soviet are these areas Russians wanted to take over.
So you're saying Britain is an artificial construct, in other words?
Yeah, it's just two
it's
islands.
It's not a real country.
It's not a country, no, it's the two
But the
islands.
Thing is, we have a British passport, and I always used to say, because my parents are both from Scotland, right? So I consider myself to be Scottish and British.
Yes,
not really English, right? Well, that explains a lot. You didn't tell me she was Scottish.
Yeah, she was Scottish.
That's a very troublesome thing. Scottish women, that can be very difficult.
Well, all but women. We're not, when you say
we're not going
to
do
that.
No, we're not going to do that. Not yet. Maybe a couple of shows in. But
they are difficult.
But the thing is, I would say to people, they used to enrage people in Scotland when I used to do a radio show up there. Because I would say, look, Scotland isn't a nation. And they would say, absolute rubbish, you know. And I'd say, well, what's on your passport? On your passport, it says you're a British subject.
Yeah.
You have a British passport, you don't have a Scottish passport, so you can't be a country, can you?
No.
And neither can England, because...
We're not a country.
There's no English passport.
The difference is the Scottish people kept the hope of having their country back.
Yeah.
And British people, English people, gave up, and that's the biggest mistake.
Yeah. I mean, I guess hope is what kills you in the end, though, isn't it?
Well, like Israel is a country based on hope, and it's going to destroy them.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. That's in a whole lot. That's a whole other show.
Yeah.
I mean,
but that's basic. Or Wales, the idea that we're the Welsh country.
Yeah. Wales is not even a country. It's a principality.
Yeah.
It's not even like, I mean, England and Scotland can argue that they're countries, but Wales can't.
If you call yourself a country, you're a country.
Yeah, you see, what about Palestine? Well, no, not Palestine.
Yes,
together.
Exactly.
They call themselves
a country, and they actually believe.
But
that
they don't, though, do they?
It's yes, not,
they
do.
They don't really say it's a country.
Well, they don't because they're part of the greater Muslim thing.
So diaspora.
Muslims,
right?
And Muslims are not even a religion. They're more like an imperialist agenda.
Yes.
Am I right about that?
I think you are right about that. Here's the thing that really annoys me, right? Wimbledon week at the moment. We had a guy, they're all getting very excited in Wimbledon. This guy called Ferry won a game, right? So he got into the quarterfinals, unseeded British player, right?
Yeah.
He's not British, he's French.
Right.
His mother is French, his father is French. He was born in France and he came to Britain and he went to school in Wimbledon.
At what age?
I think he might have been quite young, doesn't matter. But he's not British, he's French.
Did he come at 2 years old or did he come
I'm not sure. I think he came probably when he was quite young. So like, even say, I say 5 or 6, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. But he was born in France, his parents are French.
Yeah.
How is he British?
He's British, like my children are British. Their mother is Scottish and I'm an American and they were raised in Britain. And it's like they're
well, at least they've got one British parent though.
Yeah.
Right? This guy has two French parents.
It's a question, which team does he support?
Well, he's obviously, he plays tennis for Great Britain. He just decided he wants to be British.
But not just tennis, but which team does he, when he watches the football and Britain.
But if he's got any brains, he'll support France because they're going to win the World Cup, probably.
No, that's not why you support a team. That's a horrible reason, just because you think they're going to win.
Well, if I had the option, and if I was French, I would be quite happy to support France.
What does that mean? That's the point. The point is it's all this racial stuff is all BS.
You think?
Yes, completely
but
BS.
Don't you think people want some identity to cling on to? See, I don't really care very much. I don't have a great deal of what you would call nationalistic pride in England because I don't feel English. But I do have quite a bit of nationalistic pride in Britain. I don't. You know, I was born in London.
Right.
To Scottish parents.
Right, so they were probably anti-England
No, they actually moved to London because they wanted to get away from Scotland. My father used to say to me, the best people in Scotland leave because they don't want to stay there because it's a very small-minded country. That's kind of what their view was, right? And they also left because my father was a Protestant and my mother was a Catholic.
Yes.
And in the days when they got married, that was a kind of, that was a mixed marriage.
Yes.
You didn't do that. People like fell out. Family, entire families didn't speak to each other.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and even when I went up to work there back in the sort of late or early part of the century, 2001, 2002. And I had a secretary who I went out for lunch with once and she said, we've got a bit of a problem with the family. And I went, oh, what's that? And she said, oh, there's a mixed marriage coming. And I thought she was going to say that some guy from Uganda had turned up, you know. No, no, it was a Catholic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were still, this was 2002, they were still, like, you know, worked up about it.
I know all about this because my parents were a mixed marriage. My mother was from Brooklyn and my father was from the Bronx.
Yeah.
So it
both
was
Jewish,
a mixed. That's a joke. I just made a joke. Should I raise my hand when I make
you
a joke?
You should, yeah. You should give me a sign.
Is that, yeah.
We could have like a, we could have a semaphore kind of, you know, flag. Or
I have so few jokes. I have so few, that's one of the jokes there.
But this is an interesting point, actually. If you're a comedian, do you have to have lines that you have to come out with, or can you not just be funny?
When we're just talking like this?
Yeah, no. But if you're doing an act, a show.
Yeah, it's called a joke.
Well, that's what I mean.
It's like saying you're a singer. Do you have songs you sing?
But like if I say something funny.
Yeah.
It's quite often not necessarily because I intended it to be funny. It's kind of just I said something and people thought it was funny.
Yeah, because you're not on stage saying, this is a funny guy, he's going to make us laugh.
Yeah.
But if you're on stage, what I would suggest you do is all the shows that you've done, take out the little funny bits that you've done and put them in and just tell just the funny bits.
I mean, because I've done shows on stage.
Yeah. Well, what did you do when you did the thing that
I
saw?
Well, I mean, I would just sort of speak in the way that I do when I do. Like, I don't tell jokes when I do a radio show, a TV show, but I do. And so when we did the live show, it was kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
So it wasn't particularly, it wasn't all. It wasn't
but people were laughing at
people
what you were saying.
People were laughing, yeah.
Why were they laughing?
Presumably because they thought some of the things I was saying were funny.
But what makes something funny? So what you do is, in stand-up comedy, you just take the bits that are, you take the, not even, you don't have to, but you just take those bits and you say those bits again.
Yeah.
And they've laughed once, they've laughed twice, maybe they'll laugh a third time.
But a lot of it's timing as well, isn't it?
Yeah, you do it on stage.
No, but I mean, yeah, there you go.
That see, kind of timing.
I got that one. I got that one.
That was a joke.
Maybe I'll just get more used to your style, you see, because yeah, that one I got.
Yeah.
But in terms of how you say things, or, I mean, I've never been a great big fan of comedians that just tell jokes.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it doesn't seem authentic.
No, whereas I prefer to listen to somebody who's funny, you know what I mean, who can just make a story sound funny or tell a good story.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, but they can tell it in a way that has jokes.
So when you first came to Britain?
Yes.
How long ago was that?
2000.
Oh, not that long ago then.
No.
Just 26
July
years.
July 27th,
wow.
Coming up. So it's 26 years.
And what did you do when you got here?
I cried. I mean, what did I do? I mean, it was like, I'm just so stupid.
Did you get married here or there?
And I got married there in Los Angeles with my wife. I just thought I should get married. I didn't even think about it. Yeah. I didn't know anything at all. Now I know too much.
So you wouldn't do it again then?
I would do it again.
Would you?
Because I got my two kids. I got two kids. What else is
there? No, I don't mean you wouldn't do what you did already again, but would you get married again, I mean?
Would I get married to a girl to this week if Charlotte was available? would I get married? I mean, I would get married if she had more money than I did. Yeah.
Okay. So it's a financial arrangement you're looking
for. No, because I've got so little, I can't afford to give any of it away.
Well, basically. If you haven't got any, you can't give any of it away. So maybe that's the answer. If you get married to somebody who's got more money than you and you haven't got any money, then it can't go wrong.
Yeah, but let's say you marry somebody who has even less than you. They think, you know, the little bit that you have.
I don't think that's a good idea.
But the fact is, women want to be taken care of. So a lot of them have less than you have. And even if they have a lot of money, they don't want to give you money.
Very possibly.
Yes.
I've only ever met one woman who was better off than I was.
Yeah.
And she disappeared. Nobody knows what happened to her.
What, she had more money than you? Yes.
She had a good business and all sorts. Yeah. But
my wife said to me, she actually outlined how much money she had. And that she was going to be my comedy manager.
Okay.
I was going to make millions.
Wow.
I was going to be a presenter.
Wow.
I didn't even know what it was to be a presenter.
So were you a comedian when you met her?
Yeah, she met me in New York.
Right.
She met me in New York. I bought her, you know,
In a
comedy club. I was running a comedy club. It wasn't my comedy club.
Which one?
Called the Boston Comedy Club in New York. Okay. It's on West 3rd Street. It doesn't exist anymore.
No, I didn't. I don't think it was there when I was there. I was there in the 80s.
Yeah.
Well, from 83 to about 92.
Yeah, those were bad years.
Rodney Dangerfield's was
yes,
was
I performed
place.
There. Yeah, yeah, very bleak.
It was opposite a porn theater, I seem to remember, in First Avenue.
I know it was as grotty.
Was it?
As I remember it. And the only things I remember is I remember being told, "Do not talk to the audience." And when they tell you, "Do not talk to the audience," why can't I talk to the audience? Yeah. Because it was a maybe.
Right. And then the only other place, I remember I saw Julian Clary once.
Yeah, he's great.
Down in some godforsaken bar in the West Village.
Yeah.
Which I'm not even sure was even a comedy club. But he was very funny because I got a call from a guy who was then the editor of the newspaper.
Was he gay then?
Yeah, oh yeah. And very outrageous.
Yes.
And he said, there's this guy called Julian Clary. Nobody's heard of him, but I think he's going to be really big. And he sent me to go and watch the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was brilliant. It was really funny and filthy. You know, and so I had to write about it. And I can't remember what the name of the place was, but it was literally, it wasn't a much bigger room than this.
The duplex could have been, the duplex, like one of the gay clubs down there.
Could have been, yeah, might have been. But
that's where I got started, in rooms like smaller than this.
Right.
Just for, you're happy to have one person who was like a person.
Yes.
And maybe a couple of comedians sitting back there being judgmental or nervous.
Right. It's hard to do though, isn't it? I mean, I've known a couple of people who have tried it out. I mean, like, they wanted to be stand-up comedians.
It's not hard to do. It's not exactly work. Look at these hands. They've done not a bit of work.
Well, you've got to do what you're best at, as my father used to say.
It's very nerve-wracking.
I think it would be nerve-wracking. I mean, I've always said, when I started working in radio, which I only started doing, you know, 20 years ago, I thought...
Which is old to get a start. In
well, now, like I, yeah, it is, yeah, because I'd been in newspapers until I finally got fired for about the fourth time.
Right. Why? Why would you get fired?
I was always getting fired, usually not for any fault of my own. It was usually because there was some regime change.
Yeah.
Right?
Keep on telling yourself.
No, it's true. The first, well, actually, I tell a lie. The first time I got fired, I was working for an American magazine.
Called
The Star. It was like the National Enquirer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was owned by Murdoch, funnily enough. And I crashed a car when I was I was out. I was only 23. I always remember it was a Cutlass Supreme. One of those huge
my father old, used that used
huge
to have
old
that.
Cars with this huge bonnet, and the doors themselves were about 6 feet long or something. And I was driving it,
and that was considered a mid-sized car.
A mid-sized car, and I'm going, it was like a boat, you know. And I crashed it on the Palisades Parkway, and quite badly.
Yeah.
And I'd had a couple of drinks as well, and so I got done by the cops. And
but this was no fault of your own.
This was one maybe I could have said was my fault. And so
you were drunk driving.
The police. Well, I didn't put it that way. The police. But I only got banned from driving in New Jersey. But the problem was that because I only had an I visa, which was a journalist visa to work in America.
An I visa.
It's called an I visa, like for information. I wasn't supposed to be working for an American company. You could only work as a foreign-based journalist for like a foreign company.
Right.
So they had to fire me. They said, you know, because the car's been written off. They said, look, you've only been working here like. I think I'd been working there 6 months, and they were like, you know, you've written off a car worth like $28,000.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have to let you go. I was like, fair enough. So then I freelanced for a while.
In America?
In America, yeah. That was when I decided
They didn't kick you out of America?
No, no, because I still had the I visa, which meant I could freelance for foreign-based newspapers. Yeah. So I just started working out
Where
my
were apartment. You living at the time?
At the time, I was living on East 81st Street.
Okay.
So my first apartment was on 27th.
Yeah. How far east? Because I lived on York.
Second and third.
Oh, no, I lived either on York or on East End Avenue.
Okay. Very nice.
Between 81st and 82nd.
Okay. So I was 81st between second and third.
Okay.
Basically. And which was very nice. I always remember there was a woman, I was fascinated by living in Manhattan because there was a woman who lived opposite me who was always walking around naked.
Yes.
And in New York.
Right inside of my binoculars.
People did it. No, but she had no curtains, nothing. And she knew people were looking at her. Yeah. You know, I'm sure, pretty sure she knew people
were
looking at her.
That was a joke. I wasn't accusing you.
You see, again, with the semaphore flag. And then I moved from there to East 36th Street between Park and Lex.
That's nice there.
Which was nice. Murray Hill.
The Griffin is the name of the building there. No,
yeah, this was just a brownstone.
A brownstone right there.
But I think I know the Griffin. I got married. Yeah. I actually got married in a church on Park Avenue, Catholic Church, on, I think it was 38th, 39th and Park, on the right-hand side.
The churches, I don't know.
You don't know the churches? Heathens. Heathens. And so...
I think we invented it. So you can't call Jews heathens. When we invented the whole concept of a God.
Of a God and a religion, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe, well, what, you think before Christianity? Is that true? I don't know.
Yes. I'm not. But Jews were before Christians.
Were they?
Yeah. I mean, the Muslims wouldn't say that.
I mean, Jesus Christ was supposed to be king of the Jews, wasn't he?
Well, I just heard somebody say that he was born in a Jewish family, but that doesn't make him Jewish.
Right, okay. So you have to be a mother Jew. Mother has to be Jewish.
No, makes him Jewish. It makes him Jewish.
Was he Jewish, though?
To come up, well, there were loads of people like that at the time. It was a very stressful time, and there were lots of leaders of the people.
It's always been a fucking mess, basically, isn't it, the Middle East?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just always been a mess.
It's a mess this way, and it's a mess that way, and it's a mess, mess that way.
Yeah.
So 36th Street. That's
36th Street.
That's the Murray Hill area.
That's the Murray Hill. And then I ended up running my own business. I got an office on Fifth Avenue.
And?
Downtown by the Flatiron Building, like 27th.
The what 21st, building?
The Flatiron Building.
Flatiron Building, yeah.
21st, 22nd, around there, Chelsea-ish. And then I bought an apartment on East 30th Street between 2nd and 3rd, which was sort of just down the road from Murray Hill, not quite... Kipps Bay, kind of around there, and near the NYU.
The hospital.
Yeah. And then I bought an apartment there, paid 200 and, what was it? $289,000.
This is what living in New York does. It kind of like makes you a Jew. Yeah. You're sitting there like talking about the money. No English person would do
that. No, but this is exactly what happened to me.
Is it coming back to you?
I consider myself an honorary Jew.
Yeah,
because I lived in Manhattan.
Yeah,
for 10 years.
And you're talking about the money. How much
and
actually
I talk about
paid?
Money. And because English people, you're right, they never want to talk about money. Yeah. You know, in New York, he'd go to a party and they'd, how much do you make?
Yeah, yeah.
And just tell them. Whereas in England, it's kind of like, oh, don't talk about money. It's vulgar, you know.
Well, that's what I say. Didn't I say that about the British people? There's an inherent lyingness that's going on, a silence. We're not going to talk about it, which is a form of lying.
Do you think it's because Brits are trying to be something they're not?
Yeah, because it's a feudal society. It's a slave-based society.
Feudal.
Yeah, it's feudal.
Yeah.
You got a king. You're basically telling people you can never achieve the ultimate thing in this country. So just don't even
there
worry
is a certain clubbable thing going on, isn't there, in Britain, where you can only be in certain places. You can't. Yeah. There are certain places you can't go. Like, you can't go there. You can't get into that club because you didn't go to the right school. Or there's a class system that's, like, stopping you from moving socially from one place to another.
Don't even ask. I remember the mother of my children used to say, we don't do things like that here.
Right.
She would say that. I'd never heard that in America. You can do what you want to do if you've got enough money.
Well, that was the great thing about New York in the 80s. New York in the 80s was a kind of, I mean, Donald Trump was knocking around everywhere, and you'd go to parties and there he would be. And in the party, you'd have kind of people from the mafia, you'd have kind of sports people, you'd have journalists, writers, artists. They didn't really care what you did. If you murdered somebody, as long as somebody'd heard of you, you could get into the party.
I could believe that, I can't believe it. I lived there. I lived in New York from 1980, maybe 1980.
In Manhattan.
In Manhattan. I lived on Avenue B.
Right.
And then I moved up to 62nd Street.
Okay.
Between 2nd and 3rd.
Yeah.
And then I lived on 84th Street on the West Side.
I hated the West. I couldn't do the West Side.
Yeah.
To me, that was like when I grew up in North London, I could never go south. Couldn't go to South London when I lived in North London.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Finally got a girlfriend in South London. It was quite terrifying.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know how to get around. Because there's no tube.
Not just there's no tube, but South London and the people. There's a certain... I live in South London.
I live in South London.
But no, you live just across.
Just about.
I live in Nunhead, so that's like, it's like so South London. And it's... but I can understand if you're living in, you know, you don't want to go there. It's like having an ugly girlfriend. You know, maybe
I've
she's
never
got
had
a great,
an ugly girlfriend.
I know, but like with me, you know,
have
maybe...
You must have had. He's thinking about it.
I don't think that they were ugly. I mean, at the time, I thought they were really ugly.
Yeah.
But I don't think, I look back at pictures and I think, well, oh my God, I paint, you know.
It is tricky.
Because women are horrible. Nothing personal.
Yeah.
You've been told
not to say that. He's been told not to say women are horrible.
Because that's going through my mind. It's like they're horrible.
Yeah. Is it like a vein that runs through your system?
Well, because my mother, and then I got divorced and whatever. It's not that they're horrible. They're just different. They're a different species than men.
Yeah, they are.
And
so would you go back then to America or not really? Because America's a very different place.
Well, would I go back? I'm going to have to go back. They're going to kick the Jews out. We're going to be living in a police state. They're going to come knocking on my... This is what I'm afraid of.
UK is... Yeah.
Well, I mean, what do you think? You see it happening.
I don't like what's happening to Britain. I really don't. I don't like the government.
Yeah.
I don't like the anti-Jewish thing that's going on.
Yeah.
I don't like the crime. I don't like the immigration. There's a lot I don't like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm actually seriously thinking about leaving. Because if it gets any worse, I think I will leave.
Yeah.
I'll go and live somewhere else.
I mean, I don't want to move. I hate moving. I moved once. I thought it was a bit of a mistake to come here, even though I've got the two kids.
So hang on, so you got married in California.
Well, I didn't get married. I met her, and I flew to California, got married there.
And then you came, so did you come here, and did you have to go through, like, some rigmarole?
No, there was no rigmarole. That should have been the first warning. You know, like when you get a girl, it's like a woman is too easy.
Yeah, yeah.
And that should have been... No,
because when I brought my... we got married in New York, and then moved back to Britain.
Was she English?
No, she was American.
Yeah.
And I'd
and
met
she
her.
Probably loved it at first.
What, Britain?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she did. Yeah, loved everything about Britain. But you know what Americans are like.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. It's so quaint.
Yes.
Beautiful. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
And then they get more English as they...
You get fooled, like, by the background.
Yeah, and the tea, you know... Let's have some tea.
You think, oh my God, this is amazing. Then you realize, wait a second, this is a...
It was like, but do you remember Madonna? When Madonna went to live in Wiltshire,
yeah.
And she started talking with an English accent
yeah.
And drinking like half pints of beer and stuff.
Yeah, it's
and
good it, fun.
Yeah, but it's all bullshit though, isn't it?
Yes.
At the end of the day. But no, she was asked to go to Luna House at one point.
What is Luna House?
Which, it's the Home Office sort of
oh,
place
down
in,
there
Croydon,
in Croydon. Yeah,
where you're supposed yeah. to go. And in the end, I had to give them, I was working with Daily Express at the time. And in the end, I had to bring them up and I say, look, this is not a fucking marriage of convenience.
Yeah.
Anything but, actually. And we're not coming to Luna
House.
What, they
House. Gave you a hard time?
They tried to make her go and prove that she was, you know, legitimate.
Why was that?
I don't know. I'm like, we're talking, you know, the US.
Why would an American woman want to move to Britain?
I know. To live know. With a man who's got a reasonably good job,
yeah.
reasonably well paid, living in a place which is not a hovel.
Yeah.
You know, we lived in Primrose Hill. And, you know, it was lovely.
But she could have probably lived in someplace better in America.
Well, her
say.
Parents were from Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
And
well,
so they weren't particularly, they weren't particularly well off. I mean, her dad was like an industrial rubber salesman.
Yeah.
It was a bit like Archie, what's his face?
An industrial
salesman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he sold, apparently he sold all the rubber hose that they used to build I-95.
Yeah.
Most of which was supplied by the mafia.
Mm.
So he didn't really have to sell very much. He just had to kind of show up and whoever was buying it would just buy it.
Yeah, but that you know, you could become rich doing anything. It's like saying Elon Musk is just a guy who makes money selling electronics and is in the car business in some way.
Yeah.
But well, I mean, that's not the same thing.
There's quite a big difference between Elon Musk there and her father, who at one point drove a Cutlass Supreme, by coincidence.
My father drove it. Did I say that?
But she had a swimming pool, which I was really impressed by.
In the backyard.
Yeah.
In the back garden.
Yeah, the backyard.
The point is, you can make billions selling little widgets.
Yeah.
You know, selling the guy who invents something. America's the greatest country in the world.
And they still make things. That's why. We don't make anything anymore.
Well, now they're starting. This is what Donald Trump is. That's the difference between Britain and America, is Donald Trump says we're going to make stuff again.
Yeah.
We have to make stuff.
Right.
We're not going to let the Chinese or the Japanese make stuff anymore.
Right. Well, we are, but we're going to charge them a massive tariff to sell it. Right?
And then they could, if they build the factory in America, that's how all countries got rich.
And that's what is now happening, is people are now actually building factories in America to sell cars to Americans, which is exactly what Trump said he wanted them to do. Whereas we just buy a load of cheap Chinese cars and let the Chinese driving them around.
And the British car making thing was the second largest in the world, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Like,
got ruined by the unions.
Not just ruined by the unions, it got ruined by a communist government that was in control of the whole thing. Something must have happened.
It's too left wing here, isn't it?
I totally think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is. And the thing is, I could probably benefit more if it was left wing. This is why I'm going against, I'm like a class traitor.
But you would have been left-wing in New York, presumably.
I was left-wing for many years. Well, I called myself a communist. I shouldn't even admit this. I shouldn't say this anymore.
No, you should.
I called myself a communist. Yeah. I believed in that stuff. But, and then I woke up one day and I just thought, what a bunch of losers. Communism is the greatest threat to civilization, even more than Islam, kind of, maybe.
But they've sort of taken over, though.
They have taken over.
You know, the whole of Western Europe is pretty much left wing.
Yeah, well, just start in this country.
Canada.
Canada is really, it's just so sad. Would you say that's sad? But the point is, what is communism? The NHS is communism.
It is.
Okay.
And it doesn't work.
And it doesn't work.
That's how you know it's communism, because it doesn't work.
It doesn't.
Right?
And it's just one. If you've got one choice.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And nobody is, and people are going, that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And you've got to clap and you've got to, you know, tell them they're great all the time. Otherwise, you're some kind of miscreant.
Here's a joke coming.
All right. I'm ready.
I used to clap, during that whole COVID thing. And then somebody told me that these people were actually being paid a salary.
Yes. Amazing.
Amazing.
Incredible.
But we're out there.
Well, I said the same
thing.
I used to go home at the weekends and see my kids, and I'd be like, come on then, now you come, start clapping. I've been working all week. I want you to give me a round of applause for going to work and getting paid.
Yeah.
And making sure that you...
But you have girl kids. You have girl kids.
I have one girl, three boys.
Oh, really? Very good.
Yeah. My daughter was actually here last week. Still loves London. She was like, I really miss it. I'm
Where
like,
does she don't live normally?
Here. She lives in Dubai now.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's obviously it's going to be better here than in...
Well, she likes it there, though. I said, you only like it here when you visit because it seems like everything's great. But if you live here, it's fucking awful. It really is.
You know what? Every place is awful. Where I am, every place is awful. So maybe it's me.
What's your favorite thing to do to cheer up? What makes you happy?
Eating.
Yeah, actually, we've got to get on to eating, aren't we? But I think we've got time to get on to eating.
30 minutes.
Oh, we're up to 30 minutes. Yeah, we're going to try and be disciplined, right?
You're going to try to be
disciplined. Yeah, well, one of us has to be.
You've got a life.
One of us has to be disciplined. So we're going to do half an hour on the Thought Police every week. And that was just an introduction to what, you know, Lewis and I...
I like the idea that I'm just getting out of the house.
Yeah, I like that idea.
And I like you. So it's like, and then we got Charlotte
and
over
Charlotte's
here. So
I'm
sitting here looking at Charlotte.
So it's good. And what do you think of the background's quite cool as well, isn't it?
I think it's... intellectual
for us, you
think? The college I went to had a background like this.
Oh, where did you go?
I went to Bard College.
Bard College. One of the private ones, isn't it?
Yeah, they're all private. Well, they're not all
no,
private.
No, yeah, but they're not all private.
It's not
my
a state
ex-wife
school.
Went to the University of Connecticut.
Yeah.
Which was definitely not private.
Well, that's why, you know, they shouldn't have state schools. The state should not be providing education, and the state should not be providing news broadcasting like the BBC.
No, that's what I agree with.
I'm a libertarian that way. Just let people do what they want. Let people have their own universe.
Let them find their own feet.
Yeah.
Is what I would say.
And some of them are not going to be, they're going to be sprawled down
on
the floor.
Yeah, some of them aren't going to make it.
But that's just the way life is.
Yeah.
It's
quite a good incentive to get it on with it and do it better. Anyway, listen, we'll be back. We'll talk about his food habits next week because that's quite an important
part
of your life.
And your food habits.
And my food. Well, all of our food habits.
You're going to listen to me. You're not going to get
I'm going to start listening to you on a weekly basis, once a week, for half an hour only.
Yeah. And do you actually listen? Will you re-listen to this?
I will re-listen to this, yeah, of course. Why, do you think it's not very good? Is that what you're worried about?
I don't know. I can't listen to myself. I can't.
You have to put it on, even if you're just walking around the house, right? Because that way you hear yourself and you decide. If you don't want to, you don't have to.
I don't know. Maybe that's the key to being a success.
But what you should do is like the channel and subscribe to it, please.
That
if you're
means
watching
press,
this.
Press the thumbs up thing.
Press the thumbs up thing.
And the alarm.
And it's free, right?
And it's free. What about the contributing money? Can they contribute money?
They can if they want, yeah.
Do we have a contribute money thing?
I guess they probably can just...
You could go to Lewis Schaefer.
Yeah.
But we also have to promote why I stream every day.
Okay.
Which is just basically answering questions.
Okay.
And
I'll tell people how to do that.
They can do it. Lewis Schaefer. They're not going to be able to spell my name. I'm going to have to change my name. Should I change my name?
Yeah, make it Schmidt.
Make it Schmidt. Why Schmidt?
I don't know. It's easier to spell.
No, it
isn't. It's in German.
No, it isn't. S-C-H-M.
S-C-H-M-I-D-T.
Schmidt. I don't know.
Schmidt?
I've thought about changing my name to start fresh.
Yeah.
So that people like me.
Why don't you change it to Stephen Yaxley Lennon? No. That's already been taken.
Yes,
that
it's been taken.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway,
Timmy Robinson.
I actually have a great idea
for
a show, which I'll tell you about next week, but it's called Right-Wing Neighbours.
Right-Wing Neighbours.
Yeah, it'll be like Neighbours, you know that show Neighbours.
I never saw it. It's Australian, isn't it? Neighbours?
Yeah. We'll sort of develop the idea as we go. Anyway, that was the Thought Police for the first week. Thank you very much indeed for watching. We'll see you in a week's time.